Good morning. I love the mic here. Well, this is a NCI funded grant and specifically for Navajo Nation regarding commercial tobacco and then the health disparities on Navajo Nation. The NATO CAP grant that we call is mainly to try and capture the attitude and beliefs and discussions relating to the debate of smoke-free policy on the Navajo Nation, which we don't have, and really to capture the people's thoughts and then see if and then provide information back to our people. And then this project it simply doesn't allow us to lobby for regulation. So what our finding is basically just to feed back to our leaders and then see what they could do with it. It's almost like leading a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. And we have a large team that's working on this. We have our PI from Mayo Clinic and then our co-PI from the Black Hills Center for American Indian Health, and then several universities that are helping us, and we have some of them here this morning with us. And we had to have several approaches to really capture the thought and the attitude of my people, the Navajos. Because if you just go in there with just an English language and if you start asking them questions, then you're going to miss a lot. Vice versa, if you just use our indigenous language, then whatever we gather, Mayo Clinic and the university will just be shaking their head. They won't know what it is. So what we did is simply the top one is it's just a general public. It's a focus group that we did in three communities. And then the one on the left is really focused on the people that tried to, it's a coalition that actually tried to approach our tribal council and pretty much beg to have them establish a smoke-free policy, simply no smoking in public. And then the one on the right is our legislatures, our tribal council, our local leaders. So that's the one that we'll be talking about this morning. And both of them, the quantitative research, we were able to capture a lot of them. And then from there, we did a qualitative on a select group. So in this approach, we had to have several mixed methods. We can't just go in from one angle. So we had to have shared concepts and designs, and then we had to have evidence based information. And then within our mixed method, we had to use the quantitative approach, the qualitative, and then the indigenous methods and knowledge. And really our goal is to have a sense of understanding of what our people want. So there's several obstacles we had to overcome. One of them is the language and then the understanding. If you say tobacco on Indian country, there's always going to be two thoughts on their mind: their own traditional ceremonial tobacco and then commercial tobacco. So we had to be very, very clear on that, even down to the ceremonial names and indigenous names of our ceremonial use. And then the same with the commercial tobacco. There really wasn't a word for commercial tobacco in our language, so we had to really research out and contact a lot of our spiritual leaders. And then the other obstacle is that a lot of the Indian nations, they don't have commercial tobacco policy. And then for Navajo, we're set up as a sovereign nation, meaning that we're a nation within a nation. We have our own governance. So as is, we don't have a commercial tobacco policy. And then a lot of the state and federal laws really don't apply to us, but some of them do. For example, driver license. We still have to have driver license. But on other things, there's a lot of the state laws that's kind of stopped at our borders. So we had to contend with that also. And then the enormous size of our reservation. If you've ever been to the Southwest, you should be able to understand or know where Flagstaff, Arizona is on the west end. So it stretches all the way from Flagstaff, Arizona, all the way back east, close to Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's close to 500 miles, and then between north and south, it's about close to 300 miles. So it's the enormous geographical area that we have to contend with to capture all that information, and that's what our research is on. Okay, thank you. Oh, one more thing. The items over here, these are ceremonial items that we usually take to all our presentation. Because when we're talking tobacco, we have to give respect and justice to our culture. And we can't just go in there and start talking about tobacco without having our ceremonial items here. Thank you.
Okay, so how many of you have been out west? So we were in New York earlier, and now we're way out west. So we're out west. How many of you have been to Navajo Nation or driven through it? Several. Oh, wonderful. Okay, so this is where we're at. It's a big area. And what we're trying to understand is this particular presentation is really looking at what elected officials, local elected officials, think about commercial tobacco policy and what their understandings of secondhand smoke and the impact of commercial tobacco is. So I want you to just remember when you were out west driving and driving and driving through Navajo Nation that there's 110 chapters. And chapters are the local governing bodies within Navajo Nation. So there's 110 of them. And they're divided up into five agencies. And we don't have a map on the agencies, so we'll include that next time. So what we were trying to do methodologically is go and administer a survey at agency council meetings. And so these are times every quarter the chapter officials within each of the agencies come together in a group and they meet in an all-day meeting. And they deliver several different topics together. And so what we did first with our survey is go to these agency council meetings and administer surveys to those people that were interested in taking them. So they were self-selected people that approached us at a booth and took the survey. And this is after a lot of presentation and making people aware of what we were doing. This is after a longer process of making the community aware of the project and its importance and what it aims to do, and a lot of, I would say, expenditure of cultural capital to be able to gain the trust to be able to even do this type of work. And so that was the first strategy, were these surveys among 75 chapter officials. And these chapter officials are made up of the president of the chapter, vice president, secretary treasurer. We also have representation from grazing, from oil and gas, different members, and then also members at large that are leaders in the community. Once those surveys were collected, we also wanted to conduct and flesh out what that survey data meant. And so that's the mixed methods piece here, to try and really unpack people's beliefs and thoughts and struggles with these concepts around the commercial tobacco and policy. So we conducted 15 interviews, hour-long face-to-face interviews with people that agreed to participate. And also we selected based on the power of the person. So we were really looking at people that were going to be able to talk in depth about these issues and had some relationship with this issue. And so that, and they were conducted in English and Navajo. So this is a brief description of what the survey participants look like. They're mainly middle-aged people. So oftentimes, chapter officials, this might be a second career for people, so it might be people that have retired. And the gender distribution was equal, and 100% were members of the citizens of the Navajo Nation. And the distribution of age and education was right around some college and college graduates. And those were very similar to the demographics of the folks that we interviewed as well. So before we get into the results, some other parts that you need to consider is that the majority of the participants were actually non-smokers. And so this was a group of people that were mostly non-smokers. And they were employed for, some were employed for ages in the survey, but among the people that we interviewed, they were mainly retired people, and so we kind of have that balance there. And the majority believed that secondhand smoke from commercial tobacco had harmful effects. And so you have this population that is mainly non-smokers and understands that secondhand smoke does cause harm. So now we're moving to the results. Related to smoke-free policy, and I just wanted to remind you that Navajo Nation does not have a comprehensive smoke-free policy. So regardless of what the states of Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado do, as in Utah, my colleague, Mr. Yazzie, mentioned, Navajo Nation is a sovereign nation and decides and governs its own dealings. So they do not have a smoke-free policy. But 88% of the elected officials that we surveyed believe that smoke-free policies would improve the health of the Diné people, so improve the Navajo people. But they were also unsure about the impact, and they were unsure specifically if smoke-free policy would harm the Navajo economy. Now, you have to remember that Navajo Nation has three large casinos, and so that's one of the issues that was related to that comes out later in the actual interviews. And it wasn't seen or perceived as the highest priority. So smoke-free policy and smoking in general was not perceived as the highest priority. 83% thought that other health issues needed to be addressed, specifically diabetes and heart disease. So that gives us kind of some sense of how we can cross-cut and understand how to raise awareness that tobacco can cross-cut all of these other issues and complicate those issues. So commercial tobacco use anywhere, this is a statement, 4 out of 5 agencies, so if you remember on the map, 4 out of 5 agencies believed disagreed with the fact that commercial tobacco use anywhere within Navajo Nation should be a right with no restrictions. So we have the majority of agencies saying that no, this isn't a right, you do not have the right to smoke anywhere. So this is a good thing. Participants thought, then we kind of gave them some scenarios, so now we're moving toward the qualitative. And so we tried to get them to engage in these scenarios and choosing what a policy would look like or what they would be most likely to agree with. And so they thought a total ban is totally unrealistic. We cannot totally ban. If you know anything about the Navajo Nation, alcohol is completely banned on Navajo Nation, the sale, the use, everything. And so that issue was raised there about the total ban of commercial tobacco that was unrealistic thought of. Prohibiting smoking in indoor and outdoor public places were acceptable to most. And then a few stated that outdoor areas should be left to the people. So the majority agreed, but there was a few that said, you know, when I go to a rodeo, when I go to a parade, that should be actually left up to the people to decide whether or not they can smoke there or not. It's not necessarily need to be regulated. Prohibiting smoking indoors in public and private places was acceptable to most. But a few stated that private spaces should be left up to the individuals to decide, and smoking in indoor and outdoor public areas and vehicles with children, so that policy, they accepted that. So they thought that smoking in indoors and outdoor public areas, especially with kids in the car, was an acceptable policy. And that was considered common sense, that if you're traveling with a child, that you should not be exposing the child to commercial tobacco smoke. And what's really interesting in terms of these elected officials, and the reason why we want to understand their thoughts and beliefs, is because we're thinking about this social norming idea. We're thinking about, we had this perception that elected officials were really against this idea and really didn't have an understanding of the impact of commercial tobacco, and we're really seeing that that's not so much the case. So when we asked participants about the perceptions of commercial, the differences between commercial and traditional tobacco, it's clear that elected officials understand that commercial tobacco is harmful and that there is a distinct difference between tsipnato, which is traditional tobacco, and they know that commercial tobacco causes harm, it's dangerous, it's used without purpose and recreation, where tsipnato is more of a spiritual healing and a rejuvenation type of use. It provides spiritual guidance. It restores balance and harmony. And so there is a clear distinction between that, which is... Then we also asked about the influencer. So what influences your ideas around commercial tobacco and the differences between traditional smoke and commercial smoke? And they... I'm patting everyone's back in public health, because obviously we've done a great job with elected officials that we talk to, because they've got the health promotion message. They get it. They understand, they hear the prevention education, they hear the health promotion messages. They also observe it in their personal lives. They have had friends and family who have passed away, who have gotten sick, and they have observed in their previous careers when they've worked in social services or when they've worked in health services the detrimental effects of tobacco. And within Zipnatol and their views and what influences is that strong cultural teaching and that the knowledge that's transferred among family members and that collective wisdom of the ancestors that they've been influenced by. And even among those elected officials that weren't raised traditionally, they still understand and acknowledge what the purpose of the use of Zipnatol. And so this is really important to kind of be able to start thinking, how are we going to be able to frame our messages with elected officials and really trying to understand how can we use and strengthen the cultural messaging within these types of dialogues around commercial tobacco policy. So their positions, elected officials were doing stuff at the chapter level. Remember, we're in the chapter of the Navajo Nation. These are very rural, very small communities, and the chapter is a place of gathering. This is where people come to pay their bills, to pick up their, to use the computer. This is where youth come to engage in internship training. These are very special places for seniors, for youth, and chapter officials were already engaging in activities that were protecting the health of the Diné people. They were already posting signs of no tobacco use. They were telling people to get out of here and go out there if you're going to smoke. So, you know, really kind of policing. And many talked about various ways that chapters were used for community members. So that's what they were already doing. The influences of opinion on that around their abilities to do that is cultural protective factors. Most felt that they were responsible for protecting the health of the people, so they take this very seriously as leaders and as community members, and so they needed to create a space within the chapter, create a space within the particular community to practice those cultural norms that are protective for smoke, being exposed to smoke. They also know that they're a Navajo Nation, they're a sovereign nation, and they can actually do this. They can make decisions. Some were influenced from off-reservation, so some had lived in Tucson or some had lived in the Northwest, and they were influenced by the progressive commercial tobacco policies that they incurred in those states. But they were still that economic concern of how will this affect business, especially when you have on the Navajo Nation, I think the unemployment rate is quite high. I don't know if it's at 50%, but it is extremely high, maybe 60%. And so when you have large businesses like commercial, like casinos that are employing, that's an issue. So I want to go to my conclusions because I can wrap it up here. I have 1 minute, so that's good. So the take-home message for this presentation is that when we think about theories of social norming and we think that people, we perceive our elected officials to not be in line with our own ideals and desires, public health messaging around commercial tobacco, this is not the case in Navajo Nation. That they, in fact, have a very high knowledge about the impact of commercial tobacco. They understand commercial tobacco policy and how it can protect from secondhand smoke. They recommended, which I didn't talk about, you can ask me about, severally culturally appropriate education strategies for coalitions that are looking to advance this discussion. And they did have some beliefs and opinions that differed by agency and gender. So we may need to strategize in terms of how to frame messaging around this issue depending on the agency itself, given that some agencies have casinos, some don't, some have power plants, some have other things going on that might resonate a little bit more. Elected officials were supportive of prohibiting smoking commercial tobacco indoors, and this was reinforced by reports of potential behavior linked to smoke-free, like I mentioned. They're already doing it in their communities. They're promoting it. And however, there was mixed and unclear beliefs and opinions about policy. So we have to think about those economic issues and that economic impact, which we all know that when businesses go smoke-free, you do not lose revenue. So we need to make that evidence-based message clear. And prioritizing policies in comparison with health issues. So that idea of trying to get tobacco into the mainstream and think about co-occurring chronic disease and the added effects of tobacco when already diagnosed with diabetes or heart disease. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.